What's the Tea? Brought to you by B-Trans Support and Community with Pride Radio.
Proudly supported by Pride Action North.
Welcome to What's the Tea with B-Trans NB. On today's episode, we're discussing trans slang.
I love trans slang words.
Yeah, a lot of trans slang words. What we'd go around the street shouting to each other.
Shouting, it's true.
Shouting in the street.
This unknown language nobody else can comprehend. We're going to out all of our secrets now.
It's like hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics, exactly. Yes.
Sure.
So the first hieroglyphic. what does passing mean, Daniel?
So the way that I kind of understand it is like, so obviously for me, I'm a trans guy. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a passing trans guy, I'm a person who you look at them and you go like, oh yeah, okay, like that's a man. Like a stranger would look at me in the street and would address me as he or sir or mister or man or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? Like you wouldn't think twice about, is that a boy or a girl?
Yes.
Yeah. Like you look kind of like what the gender you're going for.
Mm-hmm. The gender you're going for?
Well, you know.
Largely, I mean, if you think about the thought process, it's basically just, oh, what is this person dressing? What's their hair like? How is it styled?
Yeah, it is pretty much kind of like what you'd look like, really. It's very much just based on off of mostly strangers' perceptions. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people kind of put a lot of weight on it.
Yes.
Like especially like getting addressed in like shops and stuff. Yeah. I know a lot of people find quite a bit of comfort maybe if they've quote unquote passed in a shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And like to the person at the till and stuff like that.
There is difficulty that is presented with passing.
Yes.
In the sense of we kind of just covered about how it's usually based on what people perceive you as, how you present. If you want to be recognized as feminine, dress more feminine, mm-hmm. wear your hair more feminine, things like makeup. But none of these things are mandatory. And none of these things are even something that you may want to do personally.
Yeah, like, I'm not a fan of dressing feminine.
And totally entitled to do that. Yeah. You don't have to at all. So in terms of passing, that does present some issues sometimes because people will go, oh, a woman's not wearing those clothes.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Why is that woman wearing trousers?
Exactly. So
what, it's the 1930s.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be very difficult. It's something that I think, for every single trans person, it's something that we think about.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be able to pass? There's a lot of pressure involved in that.
Yeah, I think some people put quite a bit of worth on it as well. I know kind of some of the things that I've seen online is that people have shared stories where maybe they've kind of dulled how they like to dress because it has helped them pass in public. I know I went kind of a bit through a phase when I first came out where I would only wear very plain clothes and I didn't want to dye my hair and things like that anymore because I was like, well, if people are going to look at me as a boy, things like dyed hair and like colourful clothes, boys don't wear that kind of thing.
Yeah. So the societal pressure that's imposed on you from that can encourage you to, prevent you from truly expressing yourself in the way you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
So that there are a lot of difficulties in regards to passing. And so that's something that definitely is on everyone's mind.
Yeah, like I've seen some people kind of share stories as well of being like, I felt like I had to lose weight to pass and things like that. I don't know if that's kind of the same with like trans women, but it's definitely something that I used to see a lot online in like trans men spaces. Is that like, I think mainly as well because a lot of the kind of representation we had at the time was very skinny people.
Yeah. Right. I mean, with trans women, you have obviously the general preconceived notion for women in general of ultra slim hourglass figure, you know, big butt, big boobs. Mm-hmm. So anything that isn't immediately associated there isn't perceived perfectly.
Yeah. You could tie that in really with like the experiences of cis women really as well, of just again just unrealistic beauty standards and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of there's actually quite a few examples of instances where you could say maybe trans misogyny or transphobia that are also just things that happen to cis women.
Yeah.
Cis women are also often victims of transphobia, which is crazy. Like cis women being kicked out of like a sporting event for suspicion of being trans, which is another thing entirely, of course, that we'll have to cover at some point. But a cis woman who theoretically should be allowed in the competition may not necessarily be, or may be investigated, as we've seen recently in a couple of sporting examples.
Yes.
So it's a huge thing, and it's crazy how big people get on it.
Yeah, I don't think people kind of realize just how much like everybody suffers from transphobia. It's not even necessarily just kind of trans people. Like, I know cis women who are insecure about the shape of their face or the shape of their jaw because they're like, it looks like a man's jaw.
Exactly.
And I'm like, well,
like, I've heard
similar thoughts from trans friends.
Like, I've been stood in the mirror and said that one before.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. That's definitely something that people don't realize at all, that cis people very much can be victims of transphobia.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The next one's my favorite. Boy moding and girl moding. I love these ones.
I've seen these ones like around like kind of mostly like online spaces.
Uh-huh.
I've used like girl mode a couple times because obviously I'm not out to all of my family.
Yeah.
So I would define it as kind of
going undercover.
Yeah, like maybe like
that's
I
a
would
great way of putting it.
Like say if I say like I'm girl moding today, I'm going to hang out with family that I'm not necessarily out to, and I'm trying to make a bit of an effort to kind of hide the fact that I do look a bit more masculine these days.
You have to go out of your way to present more feminine.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yes.
I do these days. Have a shave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when I'm going home for Christmas, I'm going to be boy moding for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because
unfortunate.
Yeah, because not all of my family are like in the know about trans stuff, so I'm going to be dressing very boyish and not be wearing any like feminine clothing items, because that's not
to avoid suspicion.
Yeah,
I know for a lot of trans women, in terms of boy moding, it's often just a pair of tracksuit bottoms and an oversized hoodie.
Yeah, it is.
I do think like boy mode is a bit more commonly used than girl mode. I think just because
I would agree.
Like, this sounds really bad. I feel like trans men can get away with a bit more.
Well, say, for example, to use you as an example, my flatmate thought you were a cis man.
I am.
Exactly.
<I'm not> really.
So my flatmate thought you were a cis man. My flatmate, who, very familiar with me being trans, has witnessed me transition from the start. So there's that.
Yeah, like, I kind of mean in terms of like, if I was to go home to my family, I don't necessarily have to go and stick a long haired wig on. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
it's a bit more acceptable for like a quote unquote girl to have a short haircut than maybe it is for maybe a man to
have a long
go
hair
and wear makeup somewhere.
And makeup, yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of that, like, it's a lot more acceptable for a girl to not wear makeup than it is for a man to wear makeup.
And it's a lot more acceptable for a girl to wear trousers than it is for a guy to wear a skirt.
Yes, yeah. those are kind of things of what I'm thinking of. Like, I don't necessarily have to make that much of an effort. I just kind of have to make sure I've shaved, maybe talk in a little bit of a different voice, and those kind of things. And just kind of make sure, you know, like, people don't have me on social media, things like that.
And this is something that we have to do for our own safety.
Yeah.
We feel for our own safety.
Yeah, so, like, I boy mode whenever I go to, like, the shops, because I am 100% not comfortable, like, wearing a skirt out to go to Asda, say, because I might get like clocked. And
what's clocking, Josie?
Ooh, when you spot a trans person out in public and be like, ooh, they're trans.
Yeah, like when I would say other trans people do it to each other.
Well,
I mean,
trans
it's not
people,
great.
It's much, much easier for a trans person to clock another trans person.
Because you know what you're looking for.
You're looking for the exact same things.
Yeah.
All of the things that you focus on and, you know...
It's not nice
think
to
about
do it.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, naturally, when you look at other people, you will just perceive these things. Mm-hmm.
Or even, I would say, you don't perceive these things. Like, the things that I look for to think, like... Not necessarily look for, I'm not exactly out in the streets hunting. But say if I notice something about somebody, it's probably something so minute that a cis person wouldn't even think of.
Yes, I actually do this myself.
Yeah.
I will clock somebody, mm-hmm. but also simultaneously go, there is no way anybody else would know.
Yeah.
Give me an example of what specific thing would get you to clock someone.
So, if I kind of recognise someone as a trans guy, it's usually, the way that they're stood or maybe, the way that their back is shaped and things like that. Okay. But that's, nobody notices those things. It's literally just, me.
It's just the smallest things that we'd obsess over ourselves for that naturally you'd put onto other people. If you see that, it's like, oh, well, hey there.
Yeah, it's not necessarily a very kind thing to do.
No, and especially definitely not a conversation starter. Oh hi, I just clocked
Hello.
You.
You're clucky.
That's definitely not something to do.
No, absolutely not. I think this is going to sound insane. Sometimes it is nice to be you can see another trans person on the street and you can kind of give each other a little bit of a look, a little bit of a knowing look. And in terms of
we're the same.
Yeah, we're the same. Yep. Almost kind of seeing a friend that you're not that familiar with out on the street and just being and giving a little nod, hello, that kind of thing. It can kind of give a little bit of a sense of community, but I would say it's not something for cis people to be doing.
Oh,
definitely not.
No.
Not great.
It's not very kind.
No. So the next one is Traniversary.
Yeah, Traniversary.
Traniversary. It's a fantastic word.
It is.
Now, what is a Traniversary?
So I've got Traniversary written down in my diary, actually. I kind of define it as the day that I started hormones. Some people do it as the day that they came out. Some people do it the day that they realised. Some people do it maybe the day that they've had a certain surgery, anything like that. Maybe just some kind of a landmark.
A significant moment.
A marker in the calendar of something big happened here and I want to celebrate the fact that time has passed since that.
Right.
So I do it from the day that I started hormones. That's my little Traniversary.
I would do it when I came out to my parents.
Yeah.
Because that's when I also came out publicly as well.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. So I would say that would be my Traniversary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, the next one, Dead Name.
Oh, yeah. We kind of covered dead names.
We did, in the last episode.
Yes, this is something we've talked about. So if you remember from previous episodes, a dead name is the name that a trans person used to go by before coming out and choosing another name.
A previous name. It's usually quite private information.
Yes.
People don't really want to share.
Yeah. Usually people have multiple dead names as well if they've changed their name more than once.
Yeah, I personally don't. I kind of went with one and just ran with it.
I think I have I have technically two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Collect them like Pokemon cards.
I have got a little deck now.
I should just start changing my name, Lord, so I can get my numbers up.
Exactly.
So the next one that I've got down is T for T. I wanted to talk about this because I did a project on this.
Okay, go
last
ahead.
Year on my university course. It was a term that was originated for hookups and dating and things like that, but it has kind of originated, it's evolved into something else. So basically it stands for trans for trans. It originated in Craigslist forums of people looking for hookups.
Did it actually?
It did, yeah. I researched the whole background
That's
of it
fantastic.
For this project that I had. Of people kind of, seeking relationships, things like that, dating columns, everything like that. But these days it's kind of evolved into something else in terms of, people T for T friendships or T for T found families, where it's just basically people want to have these trans communities that are exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, just exclusively just trans people coming together and sharing.
Be Trans Supporting Community is a T for T community support thing. Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
If you really want to think about it that way, like, because it is.
Well, it boils down to the same principle as the original definition for T for T in terms of a relationship.
Yeah.
It's that you have to realize that dating can be quite scary for trans people.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of, you know, say having a conversation with somebody and it's like, oh, by the way, I don't have the body parts that you're expecting. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing to have to do.
Or so, even, I know, like, some people who've maybe necessarily, you know, they're quite far in their transition and they've kind of not necessarily completed all the steps, but mm-hmm. like, you know, they do still kind of have the body parts that would align with a cis person of that gender, but they still share that kind of pieces yes. about themselves anyway, as still a lot of people feel a bit weird about that anyway.
Yes, because you also wouldn't want to be personally, intimately involved with somebody who doesn't support trans people.
Yeah.
Even if you're passing, and there's no other way the person knows, mm-hmm. you'd yeah. still like to check that they don't hate trans people.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've heard quite a lot of
horrible stories
yes. online yeah. about yep. that kind of sort of thing happening and yep. not ending great.
It can be very yeah. unsafe.
Yeah, definitely.
Exceptionally unsafe. So in terms of what you were saying with Be Trans Supporting Community mm-hmm. being a T for T charity, what that boils down to is...
It's coming from trans people for other trans people.
Yes, yeah. generally yeah. just kind of feeling safe with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, just like community, family vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the next one, HRT. We did mention this in...
Yeah, we mentioned it a few episodes back. But again, I was kind of asking people that I know for suggestions of maybe like, is there been times that you guys have used slang that maybe people haven't known what you meant? And I was quite shocked that someone actually told me this, is that like they use this abbreviation sometimes and people don't know what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, do people really like not know? Because it's hormone replacement therapy. That's what it stands for.
HRT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an abbreviation. It's just to kind of shorten it. But I was quite shocked that, like, some people wouldn't know that. I don't know if I'm just kind of around trans people too much.
I do know some people that probably don't know it.
Really?
Yeah. But that's more like they've just probably not heard it in that kind of situation before. Like, a trans situation. Because you can get HRT for multiple different...
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what women, I was thinking, like menopausal women.
Hormone deficiencies... it's just things like that. But yeah, no, it is rare people have not heard it.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of situational, really.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd include it because somebody suggested it and I was a bit...
So HRT would include like testosterone
mm-hmm.
for a trans guy, estrogen,
progesterone.
Progesterone, any
blockers.
Yeah.
So hormone replacement therapy. Yeah. What we'd like to get from the NHS...
The best one's next. What, Dan, what's an egg?
An egg? Actually, you know, I don't actually quite know how to describe it fully.
Okay, so the way I kind of perceive it as is like someone who's acting very trans, but they're not out yet. Like, they don't like...
Yes, as a trans person, you can definitely observe... behaviors that you can see in yourself. So if you see somebody that would typically identify as cis exhibit those behaviors, it's very egg behavior.
Yeah.
And the reason we use egg as that word is because if that person, and that's an if, they choose to do some exploration and possibly come out, then that egg will crack.
Yeah, it was the whole thing about like rebirth, like starting a new life, like that kind of thing is kind of where it came from.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to say that, like, usually trans people are using it to refer to themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if people are saying, maybe people are kind of describing the time that they came to their own gender realization, they might be like, when my egg cracked, or like, yes, when they're talking,
yes,
about maybe themselves before they realized things, they would be saying, when I was an egg, that kind of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have seen some very eggy behavior from myself on Facebook in 2015.
the specific phrase, when I was an egg, it's definitely something that rolls off the tongue easier than saying, oh,
me before, yeah,
when I was a man, or when, yeah, I was a woman, because also that's
that can
not
be quite uncomfortable.
That's, yeah, really uncomfortable, yeah, and it's also just kind of not true.
Yeah, not everybody kind of sees, yeah, themselves before they came out as, like, quote unquote, the opposite gender anyway. Yeah. Like, I don't think I was, like, ever a little girl.
No.
So if I was to say when I was a girl, yeah, would be wrong.
Mm. I'm totally on the exact same page. Yeah. Yeah. Like, from as long as I can remember, I've always been a girl, personally. Mm. And I'm able to fully realise that now, which is sick. But I wouldn't ever have said that, so I'd definitely use egg.
Yeah.
I just like
my egg
saying
face.
It just sounds fun. It sounds cute.
It is a bit cute.
Yeah.
I also do want to preface, there's obviously, in the trans community, a lot of people do kind of think that it's very important that if you do recognize these behaviors in somebody else, you don't tell them.
No,
it's,
yeah.
Like, I did kind of want to preface that. I didn't want it to come across as like we're scouting.
Yeah, no,
it's definitely not. It's the same as outing in, yeah, it's in general. If you notice these behaviors, it's like, oh, that's funny, but you would never even say it to the person.
Yeah,
you
know, no, I think
tell
a lot
anybody
of people,
else about it.
A lot of people do kind of look down on it if you do say something to
definitely,
somebody.
Yeah.
I would never say that to anybody because, you know, it's not really our journey to kind of go.
Yeah,
on.
No, it feels kind of manipulative,
yeah,
kind of.
It's a bit icky.
Yeah, not great. Not great at all. So that was the episode about trans slang words. Few fun words in there. Some not great. Remember to follow us on social media at BTransNB. And tune in next time where we'll talk about unaskable questions.
Remember to follow BTransNB on your socials and reach out to us if you have any queries about the services we offer.
What's the Tea? Proudly supported by Pride Action North. Pride Radio.